We continue our study of the Good News and Seven Wands with Lesson 10, the One Face Teaching about the Lord's Supper. On what day of the week should the Lord's Supper be partaken of? How often should the Lord's Supper be partaken of? What are the elements of the Lord's Supper? Who should partake of the Lord's Supper? In Luke chapter 22, verses 1 through 23, we have the record of where Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. Now the feast of the unleavened bread drew near, which is called Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. So he went his way and conferred with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he promised and sought opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat." So they said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare?" And he said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large furnished upper room. There make ready." So they went and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." Then they began to question among themselves which of them it was who would do this thing. And so as Jesus ate the Passover feast with his apostles, he instituted the Lord's Supper. The unleavened bread represented his body, which would be broken for us. And the fruit of the vine represented his blood, which would be shed for us. The church at Corinth had begun to mimic some of the things of the pagan worshipers around them. And as their actions began to mimic the actions of the pagans, they began to also abuse the Lord's Supper. And so Paul writes to them to correct them on this matter. And so in 1 Corinthians 11, 17 through 30, Paul writes, "Now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. Your worship assembly is not good, it's bad, because you're abusing the Lord's Supper. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And in part I believe it, for there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper." He's not saying we're not supposed to come together to eat the Lord's Supper. He said their coming together was not for that purpose any longer. They've come together to just have fellowship meals or love feasts like the pagans. So again, he says, "Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. And one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whosoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. And so how often were they to partake of this Lord's Supper? In Acts chapter 20, verse 7, we read, "Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued the message until midnight." The Corinthian church was not gathering on the first day of the week to break bread. They were gathering to have a love feast as the pagans. But we are together on the first day of the week to partake of the Lord's Supper, to remember his death until he comes. So when do we partake? On the first day of the week. How often? Every first day of the week. That is the main purpose of the coming together of the saints into one place. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10, the Lord's Supper is to be partaken of on the first day of the week. The first day of the week is Sunday, or the Lord's Day. It is the day of the week that Jesus rose from the dead, and the day that the body of Christ, our church of Christ, assembled to worship, as we read in Matthew 28, 1 through 10, and Revelation chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 through 30, we read that the main purpose of this gathering every first day of the week was to break bread or partake of the Lord's Supper, although the church in Corinth had to be reminded of this fact, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 30. Also, if you recall, we've read in previous lessons, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we were speaking of the coming together of the saints, and it was speaking about things that were done verbally, and it spoke of singing, preaching, and praying. And so we know that when the whole assembly came together, there was preaching and singing and praying. They came together for the main purpose of partaking of the Lord's Supper, remembering Christ's death until he comes. And then, as we read in our lesson on giving, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, they were commanded to lay by and store on the first day of the week. And so we see that there's five acts of worship when we come together on the first day of the week. The main purpose is to partake of the Lord's Supper. Then we have the verbal acts of worship, singing, preaching, and praying. And then we have the giving, which makes five acts of worship. The elements of the Lord's Supper are the unleavened bread, which represents the body of Christ broken for us, and the fruit of the vine, which represents the shed blood of Christ. Those who have been baptized into Christ have the right and commandment to eat of Christ our Passover by means of the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we see that Christ is our Passover. Our Passover lamb is not an animal from the field. Our Passover lamb is Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice made for our sins. In 1 Corinthians 5, 7, it says, "Therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened, for indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us."